good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is our live weekly prophecy reality edition. Yes, we meet here every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Turn on the studio cam and drop into the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net. We're also simulcasting on Trovo and DLive because we're using Restream. So we got three free streams with Restream that we can do simultaneously. And believe me, that's enough for me, being my own producer, to look at all that. And I can't look at all three chat rooms, so if you really want to engage the chat, come on over to firstamendmentradio.net. There's a watch screen, a small one in the right-hand column there, because you don't need a big picture of me. Nothing special about the way I look. Occasionally, I might put something on the screen, an exhibit or something like that. But other than that, it's just me talking live on the cam. My scripture verse for today, I've looked at Ephesians. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you ever wondered where I got my opening from, my greetings to all those seated in heavenly places. It's there at Ephesians 2:6. And that wasn't really my verse for the day. My verse, it was just before it. That in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So there's a little prophecy there too. And we're getting close. It's getting closer every day. For those of us that are not able to live into the seventh millennium when Christ returns to set up his millennial reign, okay? Well, when we die, we will go immediately to the resurrection. Yeah, a little bit of time travel there for you, okay? We're not going to be waiting in the ground, twiddling our thumbs or something. There's no intermediate state, as some believe, the amillennial intermediate state where you're disembodied and kind of floating in the ethereal realm with Jesus ruling over the earth. Now that doesn't work either. And the scripture doesn't really support that. Though some people might see supports for it. You really have to get my book and read the last two chapters in Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. And you'll see the millennium question. I hope that I answer it adequately in that book. Or in this broadcast, if you listen long enough, you're going to hear everything I know. If you haven't already heard it. It ain't a whole lot, so yeah, it'll all come out. But our verse for today is, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So if you belong to him, you should be walking in the works which he has before ordained for you. Okay? Wherefore remember that ye being in times past were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And really, that was the emphasis of the broadcast, is they have no hope, because they're without God in the world. Therefore, they fear the inevitable. What is inevitable for every one of us? Well, it's been the same inevitable since the beginning of time, since Adam and Eve lost their place in the Garden of Eden, when God told them, "You shall surely die." And they did die, and we were all born with that same death sentence, "You shall surely die." But we are not without hope in the world as others. Okay? He is our peace, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that which separated us from God, that which gave us that death sentence, "You shall surely die." That is the inevitable. That's what we are all born with, and that's what the world right now is so afraid of. The inevitable, "You shall surely die." But it's always been inevitable, but now they're more afraid of it than ever because there's a boogeyman out there. They've created a boogeyman virus. What they've done is they've taken the seasonal flu, they've taken it into their laboratory, mixed it up a little bit. They've tried to make it more deadly or different than before, but actually it obviously hasn't turned out to be more deadly than before, because more people haven't died in the last year than died in the year before or the year before that. It's pretty much remained the same, the death rate. Yeah. So you see how that works. And the seasonal flu mysteriously disappeared and got replaced with the COVID virus, which, by the way, the common cold and the seasonal flu is. So, we who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's the good news. That's the good news. I've got an article here from lewrockwell.com, and it says, it's called COVID-19, the COVID-19 crime and the unwary Christian church. He goes, ironically, the Christian church, awaiting the end times and the apocalypse, has come eye to eye with foreseen evil, yet it fails to fully recognize it, for it is cloaked in the fear of death. They fear the inevitable. And, you know, it's really a sad fact. I walk into a local church here, one that is actually meeting and has been meeting for most of the last year. Everyone kind of fell for it at the beginning, even I did, when they said, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And I thought, well, you know, that sounds logical. If this really is, we don't know, but we'll see, you know, 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Well, it was all a lie to begin with, because everyone who believed it wasn't lying, but those that were really pushing this thing, those that had practiced it, and those that had planned it for, 10, 20 years even, some aspects of it, especially over the last couple years with the lockstep and the whatever that of 201 or whatever it was that the Rockefellers and Bill Gates engaged in with the World Economic Forum at Davos. That whole thing, all planned. You can look it up for yourself. This is not conspiracy theory. This is conspiracy fact. And for people that don't believe in conspiracy theories, see, they actually believe that there are no evil people in the world plotting to overthrow it and gain totalitarian government over the entire planet. They believe that men and women and rulers in the government, no one could be that evil. Yeah, that's called delusional, because those people are out there, and if you can't see them plainly now, then you're blind as a bat, because they are speaking louder than ever before, and the audacity of their claims are more outrageous and out in the open than ever before. Yeah, so conspiracy theory? I think not. Conspiracy fact? Yes, definitely. In the COVID-19 pandemic, churches have been singled out, not because of the stated and conjured up threat of disease and death. Yeah, choir practice spreads virus. Can't have you singing in church. Yes, thank you for that, our Jesuit governor. Yeah, agent of the Antichrist. Anytime you hear the word Jesuit, it's agent of the Antichrist. You know, the what do they call him? The vicar of Christ, seated in the seat of the Antichrist, the man of sin over there in the Vatican. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, those agents of his that run the shadow government that rules the world. And you know, here's where I lose a lot of people, because no one believes this. No one believes what the Bible has told us for centuries, what the Reformation fathers validated, what they exclaim loudly in the 16th century, identifying, and even before that, the Waldenses, Albigenses, Vaudois, just to name a few of the early true Bible-believing Christians that were persecuted and hunted down and murdered and extirpated. It's a favorite word of the Antichrist and his inquisitions, to extirpate. Yeah, that means to murder and kill and commit genocide, to extirpate. That's what it means to them. So they conjured it up, threat of disease and death, because the new globalist political agenda coming out of the World Economic Forum in Europe seeks to eliminate mystical, non-scientific religions altogether. Yeah, just ask the Pope what he believes. Does he believe that God created the heaven and the earth as outlined in the book of Genesis? No, he doesn't. Nope, that's not scientific. He believes in, wait for it, evolution. Right. He believes in evolution. Most of them do. So this mystical religion stuff, not so much. Evolution, yes. And they must rule the world. And then you got poor people like Bill Gates, has billions and billions of dollars, but the weight of the world on his shoulders. Because the earth is overpopulated, and the earth is going to be destroyed unless we reduce the earth of the vermin that are overpopulating it. Yes, the people are like, we are on the earth to Bill Gates and the World Economic Forum and the billionaires of the earth. We are like, we are as tribbles are to the Klingon Empire. We are a threat to them, and they hate us, and they want to get rid of us, and they want to reduce the population. Thus, we have the true reason, which Bill Gates, which poor Bill Gates, with the weight of the world on his shoulders, plainly exclaimed to the world in his TED talk, that if we do a really good job, speaking of himself and his cohorts, if we do a really good job with vaccinations, we can reduce the population by 10%, or I think he really meant to 10%, because that's his goal. And that's been the goal of the eugenicists of the world, to reduce the population to 10 or 20% of what it is now. Okay? The number keeps reducing it down, because the greater the population gets, the more they have to reduce it, just to save Mother Earth. And of course, they've got their man. They had to cheat. Everyone knows. I mean, who doesn't know? Only those who want to blind their eyes and willingly hide that the government was a cheat. I mean, the elections in America were a cheat. They are everywhere. Yeah. It makes me wonder when I read about and hear about how now the voting machine companies, which we shouldn't even have, we should have paper ballots. It should all be done the old-fashioned way. Yeah, we should stop making masks and throwing them out, because it would take a lot less paper to have a real vote than they're throwing out masks now. Speaking of mass, that's another absurdity. But yeah, everyone knows, and they did it in plain sight, and they just keep carrying on the charade. Yeah, let me check the chat room, see who we got here. today for our thank the few people that are in the chat room for showing up. Bill Gates playing Atlas World on his shoulders. You think, yeah, that's funny. Yeah, it was a funny thought. But yeah, imagine it. You're just this 20 billionaire guy who has $20 billion in the bank, most of which you've gained over the last 10 years since you moved into the vaccine industry. It started out with you were 2 billion then, but now it's your wealth has increased to 20 billion now. Yeah, because vaccines, dealing with viruses and people and rewriting the software of the human being is much more profitable for some reason. Yeah. But the weight of the world on his shoulders, he has to reduce the population. So, yeah. And oh, yes, Corp Raid in the chat room says the CDC calls it a vaccine only so that the populace will accept it. Yeah, they've been giving you vaccines for years, and vaccines are to prevent you from getting a disease because they're targeted. Each vaccine is targeted for specific illnesses, and they're supposed to give you immunity. But is it really a vaccine? Does it do those things? Well, I have a video there, and let's see, I posted my Gab. Oh, let me. I have a Gab account here. And let's see, I have a Gab channel. Let me put that in the chat room. Copy and go over here to the FirstAmendmentRadio.net chat room in case you're wondering if you're in some other chat room. I can only, if I had someone here, a producer, they could check all the chat rooms at once. But I can't do that. But anyway, and you'll find at my Gab channel there, you'll see a video down there that says vaccine or not vaccine. And it'll explain it to you. This guy is some kind of expert in the field of vaccines and or that kind of immunology thing. And he says it's not a vaccine. Before, because Moderna never made any vaccines before last year, they were actually working on gene therapy. So it turns out that the mRNA so-called vaccine is really gene therapy, but they've changed the name of it for several reasons. And you'll learn that if you watch this video after the broadcast, of course. Yeah, if you watch this video after the broadcast, right. Doing my producing here at the same time. Yeah. You'll learn that there are several reasons why they call it a vaccine. One, to get people to accept it. The other, because vaccines have no liability in America. If you get damaged by a vaccine or even killed by it, the company that made the vaccine doesn't have to worry about liability. And it's experimental because before last year, it was experimental, and now it's not experimental anymore. They what they call it, warp speeded it. Yeah, you can't warp speed experimentation. You can't really warp speed. They've never warp speeded a vaccine before for very good reasons, and some of them are outlined in the video, and some of you already know that because you've done the research to find that out. Several articles, other articles we have on this. Let's see. Oh, where is that at? Okay, here. This article from another one from LouRockwell.com. Horrific latent deaths predicted among the elderly by genetics professor after immunization with RNA vaccines. And there's Dolores Cahill, professor of translational research and molecular genetics, School of Medicine, University College Dublin. And so I think that she would know what she's talking about. Not to mention the people that are dying. It's becoming hard for them to hide now that people are dropping dead shortly after taking the vaccine, especially those in their 80s, the older people, which, I'm not in my 80s yet, not even in my 70s yet, but I'm getting close to 70s. Give me a few years. I'll be there. And I would be afraid to take the vaccine or the gene therapy called, we call it RNA, they call it RNA vaccines, but it's not a vaccine because they tell you even after you get it, you still have to mask up and because you still might spread it and you still might get it. And I'm going, well, I took, when I was a child, they put polio vaccines in me. Fortunately, it came along after they cleared up all the polio vaccines that were actually giving people polio in the early 50s and 30s, 40s, especially in the 40s. But by the time I came along and went to school, they kind of cleared that up a little bit. And there's a quite a history to vaccines and vaccine damage. There's something you need to go to lewrockwell.com and sign up for their newsletter there. One of the, I guess, the premier libertarian news sites in the country. Very good articles. Everything is footnoted, researched, and linked so that they verify almost every author verifies everything in their article. So it's not just conspiracy theory. Although if I post that on, say, my personal Facebook page, then their family members or extended family members or in-laws that are very liberal, and they just go, "Oh, that's all conspiracy theory," because that's what they've been told, that there is no such thing as a conspiracy. If it's a conspiracy, it's theory, because certainly, and a lot of them are unbelievers. But the believers, and now if you're a Christian, you should believe in conspiracy fact, because the Bible outlines a conspiracy that's been going on for thousands of years. And you can see it playing out in history, just like the conspiracy since the beginning of the United States of America to overthrow the monetary system, the one that was based on biblical economics. Substance for money, gold and silver and substance in trade. That was our money, but no longer is that money. That's all gone. The only vestige we have of money that you can hold in your hand and own is paper dollars, and you don't even own those because they belong to someone else. They belong to the Federal Reserve, which is not federal and has no reserve. And many of you already know that. If you don't know that, then you're in for an education, which we will continue after we get back from some messages. You're listening Across the Border. My name is Nicholas Arthur, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. So if you're watching live, if you can, come on over to the firstamendmentradio.net chat room there. That's firstamendmentradio.net. Click on the chat button. I'll be back.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength.
Hear it first on firstamendmentradio.com and firstamendmentradio.net.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of firstamendmentradio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today, so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You listen to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. Well, guess who's back in the news and back bigger than ever? And we were all hoping that he would just go away, but he won't go away. And that is Anthony Fauci. Yeah, that guy. And I remember in the beginning, he said, oh, masks don't work. Because you just, you know, you're handling it and there's dirt all over it and then you're breathing in the bacteria and stuff on the mask. And then he changed his mind. He said, oh, I was lying at first because we needed the mask for the professionals. And you know, all of you out there, you're non-essential people, deplorables, you don't need masks. But now we've got plenty of masks and many people are getting rich off of masks. And we'll worry about the landfills later on. But now there's a new thing going on, a new trend, double masking. So now you get to double down because the masks obviously don't work because now we keep having surges. So what do you do when something doesn't work? You do more of the same thing. Yeah, if one mask doesn't work, you do two masks. You know, if locking down doesn't work and wearing masks doesn't work, you lock down again and you double mask. Yeah, that way you can breathe less fresh air and re-breathe more of your own toxic exhalations. Yeah, so everybody do that. Get your double masks. Yeah, and remember, you got to throw them away after, you know, 20 minutes of use because they're toxic by that time and they'll just make you sick. So make sure you get plenty of mass to fill up the landfills with. Okay? There you go. So that's my COVID response for today. Everybody double down, double mask. That's right. Except me. I have no mask and I'm not going anywhere. Anyway, it's more like a comedy hour than a reality show when you think about it. Okay, what else is in the news for today? Oh, yes. They're going to impeach the ex-president. You know, they could only impeach presidents. But Ted Cruz says Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama could be impeached next. Well, I don't think those guys are running again. So it's not really important to impeach them. I mean, I think that's the whole idea of impeaching. And I think, isn't the Chief Justice supposed to preside over the final impeachment of a president in his impeachment trial? And if he's not the president, how can they impeach him? So I don't know. They're going to have to get somebody else to. But the Constitution, I says that the Chief Justice shall. Yeah, so shall preside. And from what I heard, I don't think Roberts is going to do it. I think he has declined to preside over an impeachment of an ex-president. But you never know. You know, he might do it because he seems to be up for everything else that's unconstitutional. So what's the difference, John Roberts? Go ahead and impeach a non-president. Yeah. And then we can impeach everybody whoever's in charge of the government, like the National Socialist Party is right now, the National Democratic Socialist Party. Yeah. They're in charge of the government right now. They have all three branches, so they can impeach everyone that they don't want to be president. Because what's the difference? If you can impeach an ex-president who's not the president, then you can impeach anybody that you don't want to be president. So let the impeachment hearings begin. Right? Well, wrong. I mean, if they're going to prosecute Donald Trump for crimes of insurrection or other illegal acts, then they need to prosecute him as an independent citizen, a non-government citizen, because that's what he is. He's a civilian now, and that's why we have criminal courts. Now, I'm not sure this impeachment. I think it's just a sideshow to keep everybody focused on the wrong things so that the Americans won't do what they did in Italy, where all of the restaurants, 10,000 restaurants, said, "We're opening. We don't care what the government says." And they all opened up. They don't have enough police to shut them all down. And that's what needs to happen in America. The people need to find themselves and open up their businesses and say, we are not non-essential. We are essential to ourselves and our family and the economy of the nation. We should not believe this lie that any of us are not essential. God thought we were essential. You know, whether we worship him or not, we have a lot of people out there that God gave life to. And he said, "You're essential. You know, I decided that you should be born. And perhaps you will follow me. Perhaps you will attain the resurrection of life and live forever. You are essential, every single one of you, no matter who you are." But people have believed lies that they're not essential. I've missed a lot. You know, I can't go out with family and friends. I can't treat a loved one to a meal, that I have to go and follow some special rules or sit outside or wear a mask to my seat or whatever, depending on where you're at, because we have an Antichrist representative running the government in the state of California. Yeah, and he says no. So we're shutting it all down. You can't do that. You can't sing. You can't meet indoors. You can't sit in a restaurant. But we just need to answer all the people. So I'm hoping that the American people will stop looking at the sideshow, because it doesn't matter. You know, we're born into this world, essentially. Yeah, God thought we were essential enough to be born, to live, and to die. And we all are in this journey through this mortal plane. And the governments, there's people in the government, they keep, you know, messing things up, but they keep, they're on a treadmill too. And they're just going to, many of them are coming to the end of their treadmill. And they're just greedy for gain, and they're being used by the enemy to do his will. So we just have to make sure that we're being used by God to do his will, because we love him and we want to please him. We can't work our way, but remember the scripture verse that I started out this broadcast with. You know, that for grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But here, works are involved, though. Not in your salvation, but they come after. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We become a new creation when we're born again, okay? Which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So we need to be walking in the good works which God foreordained for us as individuals, okay? And that's what we're supposed to be doing with our life. That doesn't mean you have to give up your job, or you have to, you know, go to seminary or anything like that. It means that you are a living Christian, and Paul called us living epistles, because people look at us and they see the gospel. They are convicted by our life, because we follow God, and it should be, you know, obvious to all of those around us, eventually at least. Many old people look at you and go, what's different about him? Or you might, you know, at any occasion that you have, when asked particular questions, to allow your Christian worldview to come out of your mouth and answer the questions that they have about what makes you different, or why you're happy even when things are tough. That because we are not in this world without hope like others. Okay? We were at one time as they are, as those that don't believe, because they are in this world without hope. They have the weight of the world on their shoulders. We do not. We should not be going into a church wearing a mask, because that says that we are afraid of the inevitable, which is, you shall surely die. I'm not afraid of it. And I don't think for a minute that I'm going to go before the time that God has appointed for me to go. When I have finished the work, okay, the good works which he before ordained that I should walk in them. He before ordained them. That means before I was born, he ordained good works for me to walk in. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And I'm not going anywhere until I walk in all the good works which he before ordained for me and you. So I don't need to wear a mask. I don't have to be afraid of the inevitable. The just shall live by faith. There's no faith in wearing a mask out of fear, afraid that you're going to get the flu, so afraid that you'll run down and take the lie. You'll take what they're calling a vaccine, which is really gene therapy meant to reduce the population of the world. This is the plan of evil men that rule the world. The oligarchs, the rich men that rule the world, because they have the money and money answers all things for them. But it will not give them eternal life. So they have the weight of the world on their shoulders. But they are without hope beyond that. Oh, I can save the planet for future generations. I can save Mother Earth, and I will have done something with my life. Don't worry, we'll forget about you. Just like we forget about everyone else that died. Very few people do we remember. And people die, you forget. People you love die. You forget their faces. You forget their voice. You can't hear them. You can't see them anymore. But we have a family reunion to look forward to. The resurrection. This hope that we have in Christ. That's what we have to look forward to. That's the gospel prize that Paul told us to fix our eyes on it. Fix your eyes on the gospel prize, eternal life through Christ Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. When he returns, the dead in Christ shall be raised, and those who are alive and remain, all you young people out there, you'll likely live until he comes. But it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. I'd like to live until he comes, but I don't want to be a doddering old man who's lost his mind. I'd rather die. If I could keep preaching the word of God and walk in good works that God has before ordained for me until he returns, then I'm up for it. You know, the world is it's a little frightening when we look around and see what is going on and the plans that those who have for us. Like, I listened to True News last night. I'm going to replay that broadcast later today on First Amendment Radio, I think after 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. But scary stuff, man. Yeah, scary stuff. But I don't have to be afraid. None of it matters. Whatever comes, you know, I will have the power through Christ to live through it or die in it and meet him. Because, you know, the scripture doesn't state in vain that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the scripture tells us that the dead in Christ will be raised when Christ returns. So that's where I'll be immediately. Yeah. Time travel, man. You know, it may only be 30 years in the future. Of course, I may live another 10, 20. I may live the whole period of time. I don't know. But as long as I can serve God, then I'm happy to live. And if I can't serve God, then retire me, please, Father. That's all I would say. Retire me, please. Just take me home. If I can't, you know, serve you while I'm living. Because retirement in the world doesn't sound fun to me, you know. You get old and go to a nursing home and then they introduce more flus and viruses to kill you or shoot you up with gene therapy to make sure that you don't live very long or whatever. You know, that doesn't sound, I'm not going to any of those places. I'm not signed up for Socialist Security or Medi this or Medi-Cal that or Medicare this or whatever they're offering, you know, old people. Okay, I'm not up for any of it. If God's going to use me, he's going to take care of me because he said he would. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And of course, in the context, all these things that will be added to you are all the necessities of life for this mortal plane. That's what he was talking about. And you have to get right down to it. What do we really need? I mean, I could be walking to a martyr's death. That could be the necessity for me. You know, and I can see it coming. You know, I can see those inquisitions coming that the Bible foretells. It's not a conspiracy theory, okay? This is Bible prophecy fact. People will be killed for not going along with the Mark of the Beast inquisitions that are coming before Christ returns. And it's fine. You know, and many people, I've done an exposition on Matthew chapter 24. You should check that out. You should also get my book. For a starter, you should get When the Third Temple is Built. And you can get a free PDF copy of this by going to my website at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. And there's a free ebook tab there. Follow the instructions and, you know, subscribe to my blog and share this somewhere. You know, call someone, tell them about it. Send a link by email. Share it on Facebook or Twitter or Gab, okay, or everyone in your email list, okay, the page there, the free ebook page. And then say, hey, please, I'd like to get a PDF of this book. And name the book you want. I'm giving two of them away. When the Third Temple is Built and The Rapture Will Be Canceled. Both good books. But you can get a free PDF of either one. And all I ask after you read it is to go over to Amazon and put a review there. And most people haven't done that yet. And my new book, I know I've sold probably a couple hundred copies of this already, but haven't got one review on Amazon yet. So if you've listened to it, because I played the whole thing, the whole Audible version on this broadcast at least three or four times already, and we'll play it again some other time. You can go over there and leave a review from the Audible version too that you've heard on the air here. Okay? So I'd appreciate that. I need some reviews on there. Reviews are very important for people. Whether they're good or whether they're bad, you know, just so they're honest. That's all I ask. Honest reviews from your perspective. That's all I want. Okay, so make sure you get that. Like I said, these two you can get free. PDF, When the Rapture Will Be Canceled, or When the Third Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Will Begin. So very good primers for you, especially the When the Third Temple is Built. I wrote this specifically for dispensational futurists, but there's plenty of good material in there for you, no matter what view you hold of prophecy. So please take advantage of that. That's nicholasarthur.wordpress.com or crosstheborder.org. Either way will get you there. Okay. Let's see. We're coming to the end of the first hour. Let me check out the chat room before we cut out here for a break. And how can you criticize the most popular president by vote counts in history? Did I criticize the president? I don't know. Oh, you must be talking to... Oh, Biden looks like a zombie. I guess Mercury Falling is talking to WW in the chat room. All these people, that are walking around with masks. It's really the mask dystopia, you know, the new world dystopia that we live in. And a lot of people think this is going to pass over. I thought at first, well, I can't wait for this to get over. We get back to the normal that was before. No, the normal's never coming back. Whatever you call normal is not. They're not going back because they have half of the population totally bought into it. This great delusion that the Bible speaks of that would come in the last days. Man, is it here or not? It is a great delusion. And these people are, you know, now double masking, some masks everywhere. I don't like the dystopia. Okay, what do you want to talk about when we get back? You know, I'll check out my email, see if I got any comments or questions there that we can talk about. But I'll find something that we can continue to talk about in prophecy in the next hour, besides Biden looking like a zombie. They all look like zombies to me. You know, you ever watch The Walking Dead, that series? Very engaging, very good writing. Yeah, quite a series, you know. Those zombies were easier to deal with than the ones we have now, because the ones we have now are pretty much under the control of those that are driving this dystopia for totalitarian control of the world. And they just call you conspiracy theorists, or they accuse you of wanting to kill old people like me. Yeah, old people like us. If you don't want to wear a mask, what's the matter? I don't do it. I don't do the mask for me. I do it for you. Yeah, you ain't doing it for me. Yeah. Don't want this dystopia. Well, anyway, you can see I have a Gab account there. I'll put that in the chat room again, and Gab video account, because I don't know how long I'm going to last on YouTube and Facebook and Twitter. They're purging all those things. And I really need to get all my websites updated with this stuff. But like I said, I'm one man, basically. My daughter does some editing for me, but pretty much doing these broadcasts and everything else that I do and running First Amendment Radio really takes a lot. Besides everything else that I have going on, when the scripture says that he has preordained good works for us, God keeps people in his kingdom very busy. And if you're not very busy in his kingdom, then you need to get off of whatever it is that's keeping you from the good works that he has preordained for you, not for salvation. He did the work. You know, it's not of works, as I said, lest anyone should boast. So I'm going to refer you to Ephesians chapter 2. Just read the whole chapter. And I pray that, you know, the Almighty give you the understanding to know where you stand and what you need to do with your life to please him. And if you're not elect, if you haven't accepted Christ, then you need to get on your knees and you need to plead with the Almighty to accept you, to that you might be one of his elect, to give you an assurance of salvation through Christ. Okay, we're going to be back after some messages and the news. Don't go anywhere.
First on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Steve Pugh. The Chicago Teachers Union says teachers will not return to work, even if it means going on strike. This, despite the fact that the CDC says it is completely safe for students to return to class. Todd Pyro reports those most affected by the teachers' refusal to work are preschool and special education students, who will now have to go back to remote learning just 2 weeks after resuming in-person instruction for the first time since last March.
The CDC says it is safe to reopen as long as precautions are taken, saying schools operating in person have seen very little transmission of the virus, particularly when masks and distancing are used. Two parents in other parts of the nation joined us earlier pleading for their kids' schools to reopen.
We feel like Charlie Brown in that football. We've had three or four return to school plans. And just like Lucy, our school board yanks that football away at the last second.
Get our kids back in school. Do what it takes and get our kids back in school, please.
Only a small percentage of students are back, but the Chicago district says it wants all students up to eighth grade back in the classroom by next week.
The Senate tabled an effort by Senator Rand Paul to force a vote on the constitutionality of former President Trump's impeachment trial. Reaction from Senator Ted Cruz.
This is not driven by the needs of the country. This is not driven by trying to help out the people who are hurting back home. This is driven really by the partisan rage and the partisan anger the Democrats feel. They hate Donald J. Trump, and they're engaging in an act that I think is petty. I think it is retribution. I think it is vindictive, and I think it's a waste of time. And so to coin a phrase, I think it's time to move on.
Yesterday, Joe Biden signed another round of executive orders, including one supposedly dealing with racial equity.
His economic plans make historic investments in underserved communities and put equity at the heart of our recovery. That starts with a review of policies and institutions to redress systemic racism where it exists.
But a civil rights attorney says Democrats play a game to try and convince black people that so-called systemic racism in America is the cause of all their problems. Leo Terrell says they do this to keep minorities voting Democrat.
The Democrats use this all the time in Democratic cities. People of color are running these cities. So I would challenge anyone, debate anyone from the White House. Where is it? Where is systemic discrimination in this country? Because people of color are through every aspect of government. When they talk about systemic discrimination, they never point to a particular department. They never point to a particular division because it does not exist. That's why Donald Trump Harris received more votes from minorities than any Republican in the last 40 years. Why? Because we figured it out. It's a game to keep Democrats beholden to the Democratic Party. It doesn't work.
Virginia could face legal action if a proposal on faith-based adoption agencies goes through.
A bill introduced in the lower chamber would likely put those agencies out of business if they deny same-gender couples adoption and foster care placements because of their religious views. It's not the first time it's come up, according to Victoria Cobb of the Family Foundation of Virginia.
Exactly right. This has a long history in Virginia. In fact, it was attempted to be put into regulations as a discrimination against faith-based providers. We were able to block that and actually put a protection into our law. So what they're trying to do now is take away the good, sound public policy that we've had in place for many years.
And that's to give the organizations the right to practice their faith.
Faith-based child placement agencies do a great work and play a vital role in the fabric of our Commonwealth. They have to be allowed to continue the great work that they're doing without governmental intrusion into the practice of their own faith.
Laws against the faith agencies were passed in several jurisdictions, such as San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and the state of Illinois, which resulted in the organizations shutting down. In Boston, Catholic Charities USA closed its doors rather than violate its faith. No doubt, if Virginia passes its bill, there would be a lawsuit. I'm Charlie Buck.
For American Family News, I'm Musty Pugh.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, or watching, if that's the case. This is a Prophecy Reality Edition, and we're going into our second hour, Prophecy Reality News Live. And I just opened up the chat room over at, we have Zip Freer, Nathan White, and Goto Negro in the chat room over there. So anyway, welcome. Let's see, let me stop that. I don't need more streaming going on. But anyway, I'm looking also at the chat room at firstamendmentradio.net. We have a few people over there. What are we going to talk about in this hour of our broadcast? Well, I've come across some people that that claim to be historicists, but they claim that the second beast of Revelation chapter 13, which is the seventh beast enumerated in the scripture, is not as I have exposed it, coming up out of the earth, being an unpopulated area, but they say that it is actually the Jesuits. Well, I guess you could go by that, but you have to ignore the interpretation or the definition of what a beast power is given in the scripture itself. And this guy's name is David Nikeo or something. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name correctly. But he's written a bunch of books that have the word decoded in them. So he decodes everything. He decoded chapter 9 of the, Daniel. He's decoded the Revelation, but part of his main thesis is that the Jesuits are the seventh beast or the second beast of Revelation chapter 13. But the definition that the scripture gives for what a beast power is excludes the Jesuits from being a separate beast power because they are part of the same beast power. The greatest apostasy that has ever risen in history or ever will rise up is still existing today. And it is the head of that great apostasy that is at the head of the beast. Okay? So it's part of the beast. It came from the same locality. The Jesuits came out of the sea, just as did the beast. Okay, came out of the same locality, the old world. So it cannot be a beast power. It is excluded by the definitions. And how do you get a definition of what a beast power is? Well, you look for the word beast everywhere in the scripture. And I have a chapter on that in my book. And it's called, if you've listened to my Audible version, and you'll see Apocalyptic Terms and Divine Interpretation in Chapter 6, the beast symbol, the head of the beast, the head symbol upon a beast, the horn symbol upon a beast, and the crown symbol upon a beast. And Chapter 7 covers all of the beast powers, seven heads and seven kings, and these are kings as in beast powers, and that is explicitly stated within the text of the chapter that we're covering there, the seven heads and the seven kings. That's chapter 17 of the Revelation. It explicitly states that these kings are beast powers. Okay, and if you miss that, then you misinterpret the whole prophecy there, okay? And then in chapter 8, I have Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. It can be nothing else. And I would gladly debate David Nikeo on that. Now, he's written Revelation Decoded, and I've looked through it. And basically, it's 500 pages. Yeah, it's 500 pages. And looking through it, I find out that mostly, primarily the work is H. Grattan Guinness, E. B. Eliot, basically those two authors and a few others that he quotes that fill up most of those pages. Okay? So, and then he goes off into the earth beast being the false prophet. Now, I found nothing in the text that supports that supposition or thesis. Okay? So it's just not there. The false prophet, I have posited, and I feel fairly confident that the false prophet is the antithesis of the true prophet. And I believe the false prophet is another name for the Antichrist, the man of sin. I believe they're all the same thing. Historicists in the past, namely E.B. Eliot and also H. Grattan Guinness, posited that the false prophet and the earth beast were the same thing. But like I said, there's nothing in the scripture to support that. So basically, this gentleman in his book, Revelation Decoded, and his thesis is just borrowed from H. Grattan Guinness and E.B. Eliot, but not directly, because they posited something else. They actually, and especially E.B. Eliot, he applied the earth beast to a revived Roman Empire under the papacy. Okay? And that would be an easy thing to do in the time that he wrote, because he was trying to fit it into the past, because that's what we do as historicists. We look for prophecy fulfilled in history. So naturally, trying to fit it into history, I see what he did. But he didn't see what I saw. And he certainly, you know, because he started his great work about 1830 and wrote his fifth edition, was completed in the 1860s, okay? So he would not have seen what we see. It would not be what is plain to us now, that the earth beast was not what he posited that it would be, because he puts forth the proposition, but he really does not have enough to support it. And it's obvious when you go through the entire Horae Apocalypticae and you cover those sections where he talks about the earth beast. It isn't really solid as all the rest of his work is. So he didn't see it because it wasn't visible to him. Though America had rose up in out of the earth, you know, a high, sparsely populated area, it didn't have, see, and that's something the earth beast comes alongside of and helps the sea beast. Now, there were several beasts that rose up out of the sea before the final one that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 13. And of necessity, as each beast rose up out of the sea, it conquered and assimilated the one before it, because it's the same locality, it's the old world, until the Roman Empire conquered the entire old world area. Yeah, the Western Roman Empire. And so it conquered and assimilated. But then, as we've discussed before, when the Roman Empire, when the pagan Roman Empire was conquered, and the ten horns rose up, that beast did not go away. Okay? The ten horns were there all the time, but they rose up and conquered the old world Roman Empire. And that's when the Antichrist arose, as prophesied in the scripture. But it's the same beast that rules the world to the end. But the earth beast, see, it rises up out of the earth. It doesn't rise up in the same locality in the old world where the previous sea beast powers rose up. So there was no necessity of it conquering and assimilating, because the scripture says that the earth beast comes alongside and helps the sea beast. So I guess you could see that the, because that's something that the Jesuits do, but they're part of the sea beast. They come alongside and help the papacy in a way. So you could say, well, that I guess we could name them the earth beast, because that fits, at least that one aspect of it fits. But it fails in every other definition of a beast power. It has to be a separate beast power. It has to rise up in a different locality. But it does come alongside and help. But it was created by the Antichrist. So it's not a separate beast. It's not a beast power. It is part of the same power. So it does not qualify to be a separate beast power. So the scripture, and I believe I make my case very well. And if you go to horeapocalyptike.wordpress.com, I have updated from the fifth edition, well, I guess we'll call it the sixth edition, okay? Updated the quincentennial, Reformation quincentennial edition of the Horae Apocalypticae. That's what I have published. And I put footnotes in there to notify and notices in there where I have made changes and said, you know, EBLA didn't see this because he couldn't see what was not visible to him, which is plainly visible to us today. So anyway, if you go to horeapocalyptike.wordpress.com I could put a link in the chat room to that. It looks like I've been getting some traffic over there. If I go to the... Yes, indeed. Volume 3. If you click on Volume 3 there, there are several chapters that you need to read where it's the same thing that I put in my latest book, except my book is much more is much more clarified and more refined. But you'll see chapter 4, the seven-headed, ten-horned sea beast. So you should read that one. You should read the whole thing, actually, because most of this, except for the parts that are updated, are E.B. Eliot's work, because this is primarily his work. I've just come along afterwards. I've seen more prophecy fulfilled in history. So those are the only parts that I needed to update to bring it up to 2020. Okay? And that's where I have it. That's where I've left it off. So chapter 4, the seven-headed, ten-horned beast. Then the part 5, that's all E.B. Eliot's work. Then chapter 9 is Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. So if you read that, you can read all about it. And I also did the three frogs. And I rearranged some of the chapters a little bit to put them... Because if he had the earth beast coming up when the kingdom split into 10, that's where E.B. Eliot had it. He was trying to put the earth beast into history because he thought that the consummation was going to come any time. So everything had to fit into history. So that's an easy error to make, to put some things into history when you don't realize there's 200 years left to go. 200, let's see. Is that right? Yeah, that would be 200 years from 1865 to 2055, almost 200 years to go, and that there was still some prophecy, some things would show up that say, well, that earth beast, we have to put into contemporary times. Even though, you know, the earth beast had risen up, it wasn't obvious. The deadly wound had not yet been healed. He was in an era where it had received its deadly wound. But what about the healing? He didn't see that take place either. That's one thing we do, is we try to put things into history. That's the historicist method is all about, finding prophecy fulfilled in history. And so it was an easy mistake for him to make. And I believe that's that our good friend there, Michael Nikeo, is just making the same mistake, trying to put it into history and not really doing enough research into what is an earth beast. And I would like him to read my chapter, the chapters of my book. I offered him a reference copy for his review of my book if he would give me a review copy of his. But he hasn't answered me yet. I'm not sure that he wants to do that. But he should be reading and he should be looking into my chapter 6, 7, and 8. Well, 7, 8, 6, 7, 8, and 9 about the beast powers, the false prophet, and the era that we're living in. Those chapters of my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation. And if you're interested in prophecy at all, you should definitely check into it. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and you can click on it, and you can buy it at Lulu Press or Amazon.com. So one way or the other, you can get a copy of that, or you can just wait. And there's also an Audible version, and I'll probably sometime in the next 3 or 4 months play the Audible version again. So let's see. Yeah, I don't have an Audible version published because the broadcasts that I run Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday are overwritten every week with the current week's broadcast. So they aren't there anymore. They've been overwritten with, I've been going through Proverbs during the week. And very interesting. Also, my Proverbs study is available, all of my Bible studies, if you go to my website, crosstheborder.org, click on the Bible studies page. You can check out the Bible study we're going through right now that I'm playing during the week, and that is the book of Proverbs. But chapter 1 is very interesting. We talked about that, I believe, it was it last week or the week before? We talked about Jesus on socialism. And we also talked about Proverbs, because Proverbs chapter 1 outlines socialism too, and that's something that we should not be involved in. We are explicitly told to not walk in the way with them, to refrain our foot from the path of socialism. So anyway, so if you missed that broadcast, that's there at my website, or on my YouTube page, or you can scroll down. It's listed in last week's or the weeks before broadcast, so you can check that out for yourself. Okay, well, let me check the chat room, see if we have any comments or questions there. Nope, nothing. Nobody's saying anything unless I'm not logged into the chat room. It's been doing weird things here. Oh, yes, there's a lot going on. It keeps logging me out of the chat room, so I'm missing everything. Jeff Moe says the Earth Beast is a false prophet. Yeah, see, a lot of people believe that now. But there's nothing in the scripture that supports that. I can say that emphatically. Absolutely. There's nothing in the scripture that supports that. Carl Tesser's good understanding of the three frogs. The problem is that the earth, as a symbol, can also mean without a heart. A beast. Well, in apocalyptic scripture, without a heart, a beast. When a beast was lifted up, he was given a heart like a man. Yeah. Well, that's I guess good conjecture, but it still doesn't mean that that a beast in apocalyptic scripture, for the term beast, can be a man. I believe that's not, I believe I make my case. Because it's not talking about any of the apocalyptic beast powers. Given a heart like a man, given a mouth, but I would say that that would be someone who would be the head of the beast. Jeff Moe says, will do. So, playlists are also on First Amendment Radio YouTube. Yeah. But I don't believe I put a playlist for the Reform Prophecy Interpretation. I have an old one that I did before I wrote the book and really refined everything. So I guess I'm going to have to put a new playlist out there for people that are adverse to buying a book. You can get it for like $3 on, what do you call it, ebook or EPUB or Kindle. Yeah, so it's not that much. Oh, yeah. Okay, so you have to refresh your chat room once in a while for some reason. I don't know why. I just started doing that today because I was looking in the chat room, so I missed half the conversation that was going on. Maybe I'm going to have to move to another chat room or something that saves the conversation, because this one disappears when you renew it, too. That's why I don't like it, and I've never had to do this before. So anyway, sorry about that. If I missed any of your questions or comments, please put them into the chat. Re-put them or email them to me later, or put them in comments on this broadcast page when I post it later. Or, yeah, whenever, if you have comments or questions that I've missed, yeah. Someone messed with the chat room. Jeff Moe says, we'll buy the book, but like to listen on YouTube to a playlist. Okay, well, I'll see about doing that when I get time. But anyway, sorry about that. My chat room is not working properly for some reason. Today, it's different. I haven't rewritten anything, and so it shouldn't be doing that, but for some reason, it is. Anyway, Jeff, like I said, if you know David Nikeo, I would like him to read my book. Like I said, I offered him, and he hasn't got back to me. Maybe he missed it. To trade him, review copies for a review copy for him. If he gives me a review copy of his Revelation Decoded, okay. Then I'll give him a review copy of my book, because I think he would be interested in those four chapters. And anyway, he should be interested in them, because he doesn't want to be wrong. And what if I'm right? He's wrong. And he could see that clearly. Or if I'm wrong and he's right, you know, that we should be colluding together, you know, having the same spirit. So definitely, I believe he should want. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, if you listen to his work on YouTube, then maybe you should try to convince him to collude with me. And maybe we could have a show together and debate together on the merits of each thesis on who the Earth Beast is. Okay. We'll be back in a few minutes. Appreciate your help on that. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur, and this is a Prophecy Reality Edition.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give.
If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Okay, I'm back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a Prophecy Reality News edition. And we're just going to talk about prophecy right now. My latest book here, which you can see, I've got the table of contents here. Chapter 1, Method of Interpretation. I discuss dating the revelation, things which must shortly come to pass. That's what the revelation is primarily about, things which at the time of the writing the revelations, which would shortly commence to unfold in history, explicitly stated. It doesn't say in the far distant future. So, and dating the revelation is very important. There's a lot of thesis and conjecture that people, but what do we have? What is the empirical evidence for dating the revelation? That is primary, most important. I don't care about thesis and conjecture. I want to know what the empirical evidence shows us, and that's what I go through in the book. And I talk about the Bible as a book of history, because that's what it is from the beginning. And then we talk, in chapter 2, we talk about the day-year principle and historicism, okay? A day for a year, 70 years, 70 weeks. These are sub sections in the book. And dating the end of the 69th week. A lot of people, they talk about Daniel 70 weeks, and they try to nail down the beginning, and they try to show you the B.C. dating of everything that happened. But there's a problem with B.C. dating, okay, or B.C.E. dating, whichever way you want to go with it. That calendar didn't exist for 500 years until the 5th century A.D. There was no B.C.E. dating when all these things happened. So it's very dubious to begin with, and then try to nail it down. So what is the most important thing? The most important thing is dating the end of the 69th week. And I nail it for you. You'll see. It's so clear when you see it in the scripture, because that's where I'm going, to the scripture. I don't care what E.B. Eliot said. He said a lot of things, and I rely on him for a lot of things I don't need to duplicate, because he got them right. Most, you know, I'd say 80% of what he got in the Hori Apocalyptica is right on. And I refer to him a lot, and I borrow some things from him. But I don't need to reprint it in my book and make 500 pages out of it, okay? I wanted to write a book that was readable, and I got it down. I started out with, 300 pages, and got it down to less than 200, and I had to work hard to do that, okay? Because I wanted it to be readable and understandable, and I wanted to show you out of the scripture, to validate everything out of the scripture. So I show you out of the scripture everything that I show you, especially dating the end of the 69th week. Doesn't matter when it began or when the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, what B.C. date that was, because I don't really care about what B.C. date that was. Here's what I do know, that if I date the end of the 69th week, the beginning of the 70th week, and I show you in the scripture the evidence that we get from the scripture that tells us itself when it would begin, okay, the 70th week would begin, the end of the 69th week would be the beginning of the 70th week. If I show you that in the scripture, then I know that it was 69 weeks of years prior to that that the decree went forth to rebuild and restore Jerusalem. Okay? I know that. So I don't care what the BC dating was of that. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. What does matter is the date. Dating the end of the 69th week, which would be the beginning of the 70th week. And it is so clear. I clarify that in scripture, that I am absolutely sure that no one can overthrow what I have said there. They have to at least admit that the scripture seems to support what you're saying, because that's where I get my support from. And then I talk in chapter 3 about the 7-year tribulation deception, because we've dated the beginning of the 70th week, and it ain't going to happen in the future. Okay? So we talk about that, the great tribulation, the rapture play, verifiable history or future speculation. Which one do you want to count on? Which one can you say is true? Well, I know what's true is verifiable history. Future speculation, that's what it is. It's future speculation. It's not truth. It's not fact. It's not correct. It's speculation. Now, some of your speculation, some of my speculation may be true. We just don't know yet. But it's not fact, because I speculate on a few things, very few, okay? But most of the future that I believe in is what is explicitly stated in the scripture. Some of the details we can speculate on. And I will always admit that when I'm speculating, that's all it is speculation. And of course, we say that, you know, the Bible demonstrates historicism. Just in the same way that the Bible is a book of history, it demonstrates historicism. I go through the Olivet Discourse, and we cover the two questions. I talk about the abomination of desolation, and then we have a little debate, rapture or resurrection? Which one does the Bible support? Well, I'm all for the resurrection, because the rapture, and the word rapture appears nowhere in my King James Bible. but it is wrested from the Latin Vulgate. And there's a clue there for you, because it comes from the Antichrist version of the Bible. Okay, chapter 5, the temple of God and the man of sin, plainly, clearly demonstrated in the scripture, even as the Reformation fathers believed about the New Testament temple and the man of sin sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God in the visible church on earth. The restrainer and the Antichrist, we talk about that. Okay. Apocalyptic terms and divine interpretation. Now, here's where we would debate. I would debate with David Nicaea and others that believe that the beast can be something other than an apocalyptic beast in Scripture, as used in apocalyptic Scripture, can be anything other than a ruling power in the earth. And we look at Scripture, head symbol upon a beast, the horn symbol upon a beast, crown symbol upon a beast. We look at the beast symbol and we dissect it scripturally, okay? Only using what the scripture explicitly states about beast powers to learn what is the divine interpretation of a beast power used apocalyptically, okay? Chapter 7, seven heads and 10 kings. Well, we learn from chapter 17 of the scripture, which outlines the seven kings and the seven heads, we learn that the seven kings are beast powers because it is explicitly stated in the text. It says the eighth is, and maybe I ought to go to chapter 17 of the Revelation there to show that to you, explicitly stated there. Because if you miss this, then you miss everything. Okay. It says, here is the mind which has wisdom. Seven heads are given, there are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Okay, and there are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come, and when he cometh he must continue a short space. And the beast that was not, see, and there it is. Okay? That tells us right there in 17 verse 11, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. So it tells us that these seven kings are beast powers. Okay? Because the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth to perdition. So if we're not interpreting these as beast powers, according to the interpretation, according to our exegesis from the scripture of what an apocalyptic beast is, then we miss it. And then you're going to say, oh, these are different ruling powers in the Roman Empire. Now, the preterists love that one because they can make it end, you know, like the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, as they want to do. Okay? But if they are beast powers, okay, and we have to look to the scripture, what is a beast power? That would exclude the Jesuits. It would exclude any division of a preceding sea beast power. Because the beasts in the succeeding beast powers that rose up out of the sea, they all conquer and assimilate the one before them. Never is one a division of one before it. And that's why it ends with the Roman Empire, then having its 10 divisions being horns. There's no more beasts after that until the earth beast, which would be, because he says the six, okay, he says up here, five have fallen, one is, that's six, is the Roman Empire. The seventh beast, okay, the one that comes after, okay, is the earth beast, because it's the only additional beast power that rises up in the Revelation. So the seventh must be the earth beast. And eighth is of the seven. So it has to be number six, the final, that when its deadly wound is healed. And the earth beast comes alongside of that dragon influence, comes alongside of and helps. The earth, the other beast, the sea beast, okay? So it comes alongside of and helps the Seabees because it didn't conquer and assimilate it because it rose up in a different locality. So it's all playing out just as the scripture outlines. So that's what I talk about in chapter 7, scripture-defined beast power. What is a scripture-defined beast power? So we identify the enumerated beast powers in this chapter, and then we discuss the rise of the two-horned earth beast. And it becomes so clear when you what does the scripture show us? And what do we see happening in history? Because we're looking for it in history. See, this is why E.B. Eliot couldn't see it, because he couldn't identify the earth beast prefigured in the vision in history, because he couldn't see it. And neither could H. Grattan Guinness. And I read both of these guys. I love their works, especially my favorite work of H. Grattan Guinness was Romanism. Was it Romanism and the Reformation? Yeah, I believe that was it. That's the best one, the best work he ever did. His other ones that came along afterwards, Unveiling, History Unveiling Prophecy, and the Seven Divine Interpretations, The Key to the Apocalypse, that was it. And those are very good works, yeah. I enjoyed them, and I learned quite a bit from them. But neither of them identified or tried to uncover and define what a beast power was. So I do that. And then, of course, in chapter 9, we talk about the false prophet and the three frogs era. This is the era that we've been in since the French Revolution, when the three frogs were loosed with the sixth vial, okay? And I'd also have a chapter on the mark of the beast, the name and the number, which primarily I borrowed from E.B. Eliot. I have to admit that, because I thought it was important enough to clarify this debate on the name of the number. He did an excellent job, and I know a lot of people wouldn't go back, so I thought it was important enough to carry his work on the name and the number being excellent from E.B. Eliot there in that section of that chapter. And then I go into enforcement in its final form. Neither E.B. Eliot or H. Grattan Guinness could have seen this, because, 1913, the Federal Reserve coup, the development of a one-world monetary reserve currency had not been created, and the numbering of people in this, which has now spread to the whole earth, the Social Security. Someone questioned me on my belief that the Social Security is a number of a beast that you need to buy or sell in America. Of course, now this system, this socialist system, has spread to every country on earth, where the beast has introduced a fiat usury currency. This final form will be coming by 2030. That's their goal. Talk about all of this in the book, and we've talked about this here for years. And especially now, since 2020, when they put this final push, this 10-year push, to get it done by 2030. That's what this is all about, what has happened in the last year. That's what it is all about, to get the final form of the Mark of the Beast in and done by 2020. And also the work that they use Donald Trump, which was really, it began begun by the Pope, the whole Abraham Accord that's happening over there was initiated by the Vatican and carried on and helped by Donald Trump and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. But they're going to continue. That effort will continue without Donald Trump, because he did not initiate it. It was initiated by the Vatican. And I've done an updated version of this book, but this one will work, and I call it the Abraham Accord. It's the same size, 100-page book. The Abraham Accord, basically the same book, except with an updated, because The Abraham Accord just verifies what I wrote beforehand in 2017, that they would be doing the three Abrahamic faiths on the Temple Mount, as they're doing in other nations of the Mideast right now with the Abraham Accord. It will come to the Temple Mount. And I posit, okay, I speculate, I'm telling you now, when I'm speculating, that this will happen by 2023, because they want to get the rapture play over by 2030. If they're on the same page that I am, at least at getting all of this done by 2030. Okay? I'm not taking calls today, so there's not time left. So thank you for the phone check. And anyway, so there, we handled that. But anyway, so I've done another version of that book. You can find it on Amazon, called The Abraham Accord. But it's The Abraham Accord and the Rapture Play is out there. And that's also, all these are available on EPUB versions too. But like I said, you can get this one for free, or you can get the Abraham Accord one if you ask for it, because you're listening to this broadcast. Go to the free ebook tab, and I'll send you When the Third Temple is Built, the Abraham Accord, or the Rapture Will Be Canceled several times before it's called off altogether. That's the rapture play. They're going to play it over 7 years. At least I'm speculating. I'm positing if they want it done by 2030, which would make sense since they want this whole thing. Because if they kill dispensational prophecy, they figured then people won't be believing, and that they can get the mark of the beast and people will gladly fall into. And that's one thing about dispensationalism. They say, if you get the mark of the beast, there's no repentance. God's not offering. There's only one unforgivable sin in dispensationalism, and that is getting the mark of the beast. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture doesn't support that. Because what if you already have a mark of the beast, of a beast, which is going to be rolled into, okay? Which is going to be rolled into the mark of the beast. I'm sorry I don't have time to take calls right now because it's the end of the broadcast. And if people want to call in, they're going to have to call in earlier. I'm just going to have to learn how to shut this ringer off. But I think that might be my... So if you want to call in next week, call in earlier. Not when I'm coming to the last few minutes of the broadcast. So I posit, I speculate that they're going to start this thing because they would like to get the rapture play done, the dispensational rapture play done by 2030. So go to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. Make sure you subscribe to my blog there. Go to the free ebook tab and get the Abraham Accord, or When the Third Temple is Built, or The Rapture Will Be Canceled, whichever one you want. And take advantage of that. Make sure you share the pages there. And if you're so inclined, the Holy Spirit moves you to go ahead and subscribe also to support this broadcast. Go over to firstamendmentradio.net. I also believe I have on my website there, let me check, I believe I have a support button there. Okay, well, maybe I don't. Oh, yeah, there it says support Cross the Border, and that means that you'll be supporting firstamendmentradio.net. It all goes into the same pot, because those are the good works which God before ordained that I might walk in them. So firstamendmentradio.net. crosstheborder.org, libertyarchives.com, all of those. That's what you're supporting, is that entire genre of work, those good works which God before ordained that I should walk in them. Anyway, that's my ministry until I get kicked off the internet. till we all get kicked off to the internet, because I believe that's part of what's coming in 2030, is that you will have to have the mark of the beast. Even you'll have to scan your iris or your thumbprint or some mark or something to even get on the internet someday in the future. Yeah. Or on your, or to have a cell phone. Yeah. Smartphone, to engage in all of that stuff. Everything. It's going to be cleansed. You can see it happening, right now. So it depends on what's going to happen where. That's the only only answer I don't have, is to how far and how much of what is going to happen where, because the earth beast, if it is America, those two horns, one like a lamb, there's a division of power in America. You can see it clearly today. You can see the conflict between the lamb-like attributes and the dragon-like speaking. Can you see that today? In America, is it all too clear that that's the era that we're in and that's what's going on, is there is a power struggle? But I see no indication that one horn rises above the other, so it may be an equal power struggle until then. But the kingdom of God, we will win in the end, regardless of the raging of the beast against the kingdom of God. Jesus said, I will build my church, and believe me, he will continue and has been building his church, and he will continue building his church until the consummation. Okay, I want to thank you all for showing up today. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. Nothing is more important. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. That's crosstheborder.org.
I know you all want answers, and believe me, so do I, and I'll do my best to get them.
Despite Nicolas Cage's promise to do his best to get Left Behind rapture answers for us, don't hold your breath. Not everyone believes Left Behind is true prophecy. Some may even regard as conspiratorial the mainstream re-release of the Left Behind movie, with actor Nicolas Cage portraying the main character, as an attempt to further reinforce in the minds of all this perception of false prophecy, in order to condition the masses for the play about to begin. If you want true Bible prophecy answers, get the book, The Rapture Will Be Canceled. The author exposes the Latin rapture origin, the 7-year tribulation deception, true Bible revelation of